I want to start in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We appreciate you being here. I hope I can get this done in 5 or 6 weeks. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you. I appreciate that. Stan told me to take my time, so we're not rushing. Ephesians chapter 1. The book of Ephesians is really a very unique book. The record of Paul going to Ephesus is recorded basically in 18th and 19th chapter of the book of Acts. So that's the trips that he's actually referring to when he pens the letter. When he writes the letter, he's a prisoner for Jesus Christ. He's in Rome and he's in his own hired house. And just to give you a little background, he spent a couple years there at Ephesus teaching and doing that. And we're going to look at that a little bit tonight. And you're going to see about the middle wall of petition. In fact, there won't be a single person confused in here when I get done. Okay? I promise you. Unless you want to be confused. If you want to be confused, then you can probably confuse yourself. But it will be clear. While he's at Ephesus, he has some people who we'll call us and we. This group of people are the people that he actually sat down with in Ephesus. So go to Ephesians chapter 1 and read with me, if you will, in verse 11. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 11, the Bible says, and I'm going to put on my glasses because I wore my white shirt thinking I may not need it. It comes and it goes. It said, in whom also we, notice the pronoun we, have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That we, see the we, should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Well, what is he talking about? Well, those are the people in Acts chapter 19. But start in Acts chapter 18 for a minute. Hold on, because we're going to turn right back. So don't spend a lot of time. So hold your finger in there and go to Acts chapter 18. In Acts chapter 18, verse 19. Acts chapter 18, verse 19. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry long time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep the feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. That's his first visit to Ephesus. He comes back, Acts chapter 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to where? It's a second visit there. Finding certain disciples, because they've obviously been one to the Lord the first time he went there, which was Acts chapter 18, verse what? I would put that those disciples, those certain disciples, came from that first visit. Y'all understand? And he found finding certain disciples. I'm sorry. We're not there yet. Don't write that in there. I'm sorry. I went totally brain dead on. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. I would put Matthew chapter 3, verse 6, right there. And then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And by the way, these guys had not even heard of Jesus Christ. So he preaches it to them. When they'd heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands onto them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues, and they prophesied, as in Mark 16:16. and all the men were about 12. And he entered into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened, the word divers mean many, when many were hardened, and believed not, but spake evil of that way, that's the same way of Acts chapter 13, verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Okay? So you want to put that right there. That's that way. And that you could be justified from all things which you could not be justified by the laws of Moses. Verse 39. So Acts 13, 38 and 39 goes right there. He departed from them and separated the disciples. Those disciples are the ones that he first talked to in Ephesus and the ones he's been teaching for the last 3 months. You with me? That's where you want to put Acts chapter 18, verse 19. Now, and this continued by the space of 2 years. So a lot of people heard. Look, so that all that which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and what? Okay, so the we's include who? Jews and Greeks, which would be what?
Gentiles.
Gentiles. That is the we in Ephesians chapter 2 or 1. You got it? There were a lot of people that believed. How long was Paul there? 2 years. And so it's 2 years, 3 months, and that's the correct answer. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1.
Yeah, Miss Penny.
Absolutely. She's getting a hold of this stuff. It makes a lot more sense now, doesn't it, Miss Penny?
It's so exciting. It's just amazing.
It is amazing. I mean, people ought to be excited about the truth. I'm like, this is the most exciting stuff. And this isn't being offered in regular churches. You know that, don't you?
And it's not really being offered in all the what do you call them, colleges where they go to get learned?
Yeah, that's true. Now watch. Verse 12 again. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, which were the disciples of Acts chapter 19, verse 9. Okay? That is who the we is. Y'all with me? That's the we. Who first trusted in Christ while he was there in Acts chapter 19 for those 2 years, 3 months. In whom ye also trusted. All right, then there is a ye. The we's us and ye's. English teacher. Is the ye the we? Say that loud. No, the we's cannot be the ye's. No, ye can be a group. It can be plural. But it's like you guys. You, as we say in y'all. Y'all. That's the Southern. We have a King James Southern Bible. Y'all. Anyway, that's exactly right. The we's and the ye's are two separate groups. Now watch. Now this is of particular interest if you're interested in what the middle wall is all about. Verse 13 again. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The ye is a different group. Now, I want you to understand, he didn't know the ye's, he's writing to the ye's. When he writes the Ephesian letter, he's not writing to the we's, he's writing to the ye's. Okay? And there's a problem between the we's and the ye's. There is a big wall in between these two groups. Jews and Greeks and Gentiles that were idol-worshipping Gentiles outside the covenant. The yeast. Yes. Now watch. Verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. Well, he didn't have to pray that for the first group. Why? Verse 8. Go back to verse 8. Look at the first group. Wherein he hath abounded toward us all what? Why? Why did they already have all the wisdom? He'd already been there 2 years, 3 months. They got it. But the yees, have they got it?
No.
So he's praying that they get it. Y'all with me? Bronx, are you with me? Tony?
I'm getting there. See, they're the ones that make, I was trying to understand this, that believe that were the Jews and the Greeks were those who believed the, were like part of the first covenant or something like that?
Well, no. Well, don't get that confused. But these are the first group that believed in Ephesus. In Acts chapter 18 and 19, where we just read. That's this group.
Exactly, were they believing, though, that Jesus died for their sins?
Yeah, go to Acts chapter 13. Go to Acts 13. This is that way. Acts 13, 38 and 39. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the what? Forgiveness of sins.
So that's two groups that were the first to hear forgiveness of sins.
In Ephesus. In Ephesus. Paul's first missionary journey was what? Acts 18. Second mission, 19, spends 2 years, 3 months. During that time, he's teaching that way, as in Ephesians chapter 19, verse 8 and 9. You all with me? That is the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel of Christ? That Christ died for our sins is very important. That really doesn't include you. The our sins are the people of promise. All right, go back to Acts 13 for a minute, because I want to make sure you got this. That was a great question and a good follow-up by Carlton. Guys, by the way, if you want to text us on the internet, you can text us by doing my cell phone at 334-669-0920. No calls, please. I will answer it, but we'll be on a 20-second delay and you'll be really confused. All right, Acts 13, verse 23 first. Everybody there, Acts 13, 23. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto who? Who's preaching this? Paul is. Now, verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God. Who would that include?
Gentiles.
Yeah, Jews and Greeks are Gentiles that feared God. Examples? Rahab. It would have been her type. Ruth. Cornelius. The Syrophoenician woman. And the centurion servant. Those are some examples that it is actual case. They were in the covenants of promise. What was the promise? I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curse thee. These, because these Greeks had blessed the Jews, were under a what?
Promise.
But these had cursed. And so what did they deserve?
A curse.
A curse. And these guys didn't like these guys very much. Y'all with me so far? 38 now. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. Very first time it's mentioned in the King James Bible. Right there. Very first time, you need to note that. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Do you realize there was no sacrifice for adultery? If you had committed adultery in here and you were under the Jewish covenant, you would be stoned to death. There was none for murder. Blasphemy. You couldn't go and say, hey, I blasphemed. They'd take you out and stone you. Y'all understand that? There was not forgiveness under all the law. This is the first time the gospel of Christ is preached. What is the gospel of Christ? That Christ died for our sins. 1 Corinthians 15 should be put right there. Now, go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Did that answer the question? Bronx? Okay. Carlton, you? Okay. We're on Ephesians chapter 1. So, these people, Paul had never met. He had left Ephesus under distress. And after he's gone, and he's in prison, and the gospel of the grace of God had gone out to people outside the covenant, he starts hearing about them getting saved. So he pens the Ephesus letter to write to them and tell them what's going on. Because this group over here doesn't necessarily want to hang out with that group over there. He sent it by letter. You know, people carry his letters just like the mail service. Yeah. No, I mean, they carried it and read it in the churches, just like I would stand up and say that we got a letter from Paul, and this is what it says. And they would read the letter. Now, watch. And by the way, what are we doing? We're still reading the letters. Same thing. Verse 15, whereof I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all saints, to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of the... Well, those other people already knew all that. Y'all see that? Now, jump down to chapter 2. Verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past. What time past are we talking about? That's what the time past he's talking about. Remember, he's writing letters to people that were where? And that time past, guess what? When I was there the last time, this is your condition. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air. Y'all got it? These people didn't walk in the covenant of God. They didn't walk as allies of Israel. They walked as aliens, strangers from the covenants of promise. They walked as idol-worshipping Gentiles, worshipping the goddess of Diana. Got it? That time passed right there, wherein in time past, you need to put Acts chapter 18 and 19. That's where it is. It's a specific time he's talking about. He's not being vague. That's the exact time he's talking about. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past. Did these people here walk perfectly to the law?
No,
they were just as guilty as these over here. And that's his admitting to that there in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires in the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. Were these people here going to go to hell too?
Yes.
Yes, why? Because not the keepers, not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law. And that's the whole rebuke of Romans chapter 2. You can't just say, I'm listening to the law, and therefore I should get into heaven. It isn't the hearers of the law that are just before God. It is the doers of the law. And the Bible said there's none good, no, not one. The Bible said there's not a just person upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, including these. Okay, that was pretty good preaching. You guys really let me down.
Amen.
Thank you. But if I have to beg for them, they're just not really worth it.
You're doing a good job. We're proud of you.
Thank you, brother. Just throw more money in the plate. It's that $2,000 bill that we have to face called insurance that we didn't realize was coming. Yeah, that's exciting. All righty then. A little Jim Carrey. That was hopefully entertaining enough that ought to gain a $10 bill back there. All right. Verse 4. But God, I love that term, isn't it? But God, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. But God, even though that's true that we're all children of wrath, it didn't matter whether you were outside the covenant or inside the covenant. We're all children of wrath. Why? Because it's not the hearers of the law that are just before God, but the
doers of the law.
And how many did it?
None.
How many sinned? All had sinned. Doesn't really matter. Y'all understand? Boy, that's important. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherein He loved
us, all of us.
He loved us. But look at this. Even when we were dead in sins, boy, this is where it gets great. You can't miss this. Even when we were dead in sins, hath He quickened us together with Christ. By grace, ye are saved. Why didn't He say by grace we're all saved? Why didn't He say that? For by grace we're all saved. Hold on, go to Acts 13. The answer should have been obvious. I gave it to you before the pop quiz. Verse 23, Acts 13:23. Okay, so you're the A student. What are you? All right, so we're grading on a curve. There's some beginners here. I'm telling you, He ruins it for everybody.
No, it didn't, because I didn't turn the volume on for
it. Oh, it's good. That's why Deborah's sitting on that camera over there so she can cheat, saying, I've got it now. All right, now verse 23. Of this man's seed hath God, according to His promise, raised unto Israel a what? Well, it wasn't that these people got saved by grace. God had promised Israel a Savior, don't you understand? Look in Luke chapter 1. Lord help us. Luke chapter 1.
There isn't that more. The difference between the both of them is more that He didn't promise to save the Jews at all.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And the promise was to Israel and to that feared God. To you is the word of the salvation sin, verse 26.
Says, for by grace are ye saved. It was just grace.
Absolutely. There's no other way He could get to them.
No promise.
They hadn't blessed Israel. They hadn't done any of that. But look in Luke chapter 1. Look in verse 67. Aren't you glad you came tonight?
Amen.
I mean, this stuff is exciting, guys. If you get this, you've got it all. This is like it. You want to know what it is? Here it is. This is the it. If you get this, you've got it. Verse 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, watch this, blessed be the Lord God, and he's talking about Jesus Christ, the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people and hath raised a horn of salvation for us and the of his servant, the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which has been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, and on, to perform the mercies promised. You see that? Promised. God had promised Israel. Promised. Israel, a what? So if God doesn't deliver, God's a crook. God's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said any, will he not also perform the doing of it? And the answer is absolutely. Why does he save Israel? Because he had promised them. Promise. Carlton, talk up. Well, according to all the promises from their enemies and stuff. But if you want to know the exact thing, it's Zechariah 13, verse 1. Where the fountain is open. That these people had no promise at all. What was their only promise?
Curse.
I'll curse them that... Curse. That was the promise they had. They didn't have like, hey, you can be saved. It's going to be great news. They were under a curse. That was the promise. If you bless Israel, you'd be these people. If you didn't bless them and you cursed them, you'd be cursed. So these people were only promised one thing. A what? But now they're getting saved.
So the curse was like
the Yeah, it was more like you're going to end up in hell. I mean, you're going to be cast into outer darkness forever. But now they're getting saved. Well, they couldn't get saved by blessing Israel. They were cursing Israel. So could it have been according to a promise?
No.
No. Now watch. Come on down. Verse 5 again. You're about to get your blessing. But you don't get it. How did these guys get it?
By blessing Israel.
These Greeks got in before you did because they blessed Israel. Then they heard the message. Would they have been allowed to hear it before?
No.
No way, no how. Paul would never have gone to you. Why? He sent to the Jews and to the Gentiles that feared God. Go back to Acts 13. Yes. Wrong, so I see the question on your face. That's okay. I'm not leaving you, girl. I'm right there. We're going to walk together down this aisle. Listen, you guys got to understand. It isn't like God went out and could start saving you guys. He could save those Gentiles because they had blessed Israel. He owed them a blessing. It just happened to be the blessing wasn't a healing like the centurion servant or the Syrophoenician woman that got healed. It was the forgiveness of sins. And you know they were saying, hallelujah. You know, hallelujah. But you wouldn't be saying hallelujah. You'd say, oh, great is my goddess Diana. Oh, I love her many, many things. Verse 26, Acts 13, 26. You'd have to see a picture of Goddess Diana to understand that. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God. Well, what would they have done if they'd have feared God? They would have done works of righteousness, which would have been what? Bless Israel. What did they have to do? Well, there's four or five examples in the Bible. Naomi and Ruth. right? Rahab the whore. She said, she lied. She said, those guys went, and if you hurry up, you'll catch them. She lied. You know what she was doing? Was protecting Israel. And God, therefore, saved everybody that was in her house when he came around Jericho. Oh, it came tumbling down, all except for her place. Oh, absolutely. And that's a good example of the curse. You asked about the curse. Jericho is a good example. Go marching around, and the only Gentile is a lying whore. You know why? She blessed Israel. Rahab isn't a type of you. A Rahab is a type of this Greek. God, when he saved you, had to reach even beyond all of that. My goodness, this is so... I mean, if you ever grab a hold of this and you put your mouth into this biscuit out of the oven of a holy and righteous God and eat it, it will be like you've never tasted anything else in your life.
Call of God and getting saved, and Paul's telling them why.
Yeah, exactly. Now, let me show you. He knows it's coming. Go to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe it is. Yes, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 12. What would you all do if you didn't have me for a Bible teacher?
Hear sad little stories and cry.
Well, I may tell you a few. They do a lot better financially than we are. Off to Chattanooga we go. Now watch this. Watch this. Verse 1, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelation of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up, listen to this, into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. I believe that is when he got in the mystery of your salvation. But can he say anything?
No.
No, it is unlawful for a man to even speak. You mean he would save somebody outside a covenant? You mean God would save Bronx? No way, that pork-eating little woman. No way. I saw her eat shrimp. That would definitely send you to hell. You can't eat anything without scales and fins. Okay, obviously that went over like a lead brick. Go to Acts chapter 21. In gills. I don't mind. Don't ask me. I eat anything and everything. It doesn't really matter. Give me a second here. Hang on. I'm give me just a second, okay? I'm sorry. Wasn't in my mind to go, but I thought... Yes, Acts 22. Is that where I told you to go? 22. Now watch this. Verse 17, now watch. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And I saw him saying unto me, the helm is the Lord Jesus Christ. You may want to put that in your Bible so you don't get confused. make haste, get thee out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I'm in prison and beat in every synagogue of them that believe on me. And when thy martyr, the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, said unto me, Depart, for I'll send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Those Gentiles are you guys.
Amen.
Now, the Jews didn't just say, okay, we're going to beat you. Verse 22. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then they lifted up their voice and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth! It's not fit that he should live! What are you telling me, that God is going to save these that have been cursing our nation? You're telling me that people are going to get saved that eat pork? You're telling me people that commit idolatry that God is going to save? No way should this man live! No way! And they kicked up the dust and made a ruckus, and had it not been for that captain, Paul would be dead. That was pretty good preaching. And I'm not begging for amens, but that would have been a good spot right there. Y'all with me? It's different than what he said before. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Oh, if you could get a hold of this, you would have it. This is it. This is the stuff. Verse 8. Deborah, are you getting it even though you're on the camera? Terry? Getting it? Got it.
I got you.
All right. Here we go. Verse 8. Y'all with me? Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved. Why didn't he say, for by grace we're all saved?
Because we wasn't all saved.
We didn't have to go to the doors.
They were promised, we were not. We were cursed.
That's exactly the difference. Carlton, you got it? Norm?
I got
it. Well, he says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works. What was the works?
Blessing Israel.
You need to put that in your Bible right there. That is what the works is. The works isn't keeping the commandments. The work isn't giving up smoking. The works isn't turning a new leaf. The works isn't repentance. The works isn't trying to be a great person. The works was finding a Jew and blessing him, as in the covenant of Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3. I would definitely write that in my Bible.
Wouldn't it be from Revelations, like where when you went to, I was in prison.
Yeah,
and
Matthew 25, 31 through the end of the chapter explains this whole blessing thing. And then there are three examples. Tell me when you're ready to write. Matthew 15, 22, the Syrophoenician woman. Yeah, this is what was required. But these weren't saved by these works. They were saved by what?
Promise.
Grace. These were saved by grace. They weren't saved by works. All right, so it's Matthew 15, 22. The centurion servant in Luke chapter 7. And Acts 10, verse 30. Acts chapter 10, the whole thing. But really, you get it down in 34 and 35. And we're going to go to that comparison in just a minute at the end. Luke chapter 7, 1 through about 6 or 7. Now, those are the examples. That is the works that it's talking about there in verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Could these brag about giving up their Greek idols and worshiping God and blessing Israel?
Amen.
Could these brag about it?
No.
No, there were nothing they could bring to the table and say, man, I bless the Jew. If they did, they would have been in the promise. These were outside. Look at verse 11. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh. There were some Gentiles that weren't in the flesh. There were some Gentiles inside the covenant. But at that time, and what time are we talking about? Acts 19. You need to write that in your Bible. That's the time past right there. Acts 19. You can go back and reflect. You know who this would be like? Demetrius the silversmith getting saved. Who made shrines on the Diana. It'd be like him getting saved. It would have to be by God's grace. And you can understand why that made those people in Acts chapter 22, was it? So dadgum mad. Well, no, I'm talking about, you know why it made them mad. They're going to people that were worshiping Diana and God was getting saved. Or God was saving them. And you know who we represent in this Bible?
Yees.
We're the Yees. Verse 11. Wherefore remember that you being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, he's writing that letter. You weren't one of the peoples that were the Wees. You weren't in my school of one Tyrannus. You didn't hang around me for 2 years, 3 months. You were trying to expel me out of the country because of the temple of Diana. You were trying to cause me harm and good. But now God has saved you. Verse 12. That at that time, what time? Time passed to verse 11. That at that time, you were without Christ. Why were these Gentiles without Christ? They were being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Strangers from the covenants of promise. What covenants of promise? I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curse thee. Genesis chapter 12 is the covenant of promise. Write it in your Bible. You'll not remember it. You're not that smart. It's better to take notes. Genesis chapter 12. 1 through 3. What were they? Strangers from the covenants of promise. Having how much hope?
No hope.
Why? What were they? What was their only thing? I will curse them. They had no hope. You had no hope. There wasn't any hope for you. Are you kidding me? That God would save you? People go around with their chicken breast out today, worshiping God, raising their hands like there's some honor of God looking down upon them, shining down upon them in some fashion. Folks, you ought to be humbled into the dirt. Your face ought to be buried into the ground. You ought to realize that if it wasn't by God's grace, there'd be no hope for you in this room. There'd be nothing left for you. You should bury your face and thank God for His grace. But instead, people go to churches after churches that just teach garbage.
Amen.
When God reached down, He broke all the rules to save you. In fact, it was so big of a rule breaker that it ultimately caused Paul his own life. And the room isn't even full. Why isn't the room full? You ought to be dragging people to hear this message. Don't you understand? It's the greatest thing that ever happened to this planet. That God could save me. Me! That God would save a filthy wretch like me. Can you imagine that? He died for adulterers. And adulterers, people into child pornography, mass murderers. Christ died for the ungodly.
Amen.
It's greatest news. Greatest news. Say, wow, man. Having no hope and without God in the world. But now, boy, and those but nows starting to show up a little bit. But now, in Christ Jesus, you that were sometimes afar off, outside of the realm of anything that are now made nigh by the blood of Christ. Hey, I'm not having to beg for it now. Two people said it. Made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who have made both one. Both what? Both groups one. And they're one in the what? Body of Christ. These people didn't like these people. They did works for it. They blessed the Jew. These people get in for free? What, are you kidding me? And there was animosity between the groups. And so Paul pins the letter. For He is our peace, who has made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. What was the middle wall of partition? It was all those ordinances. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For what reason did He do that? For to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. So He could save anybody. He's made it so that He could save anybody. So there were two mysteries. The first one was the gospel. What was the gospel? That Christ died for our sins. Our sins are Israel, the Jews, and the Gentiles. But then there's a second mystery, that gospel goes out to you and you get saved by blessing a Jew? No. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise. What was the promise? Righteousness. That's the promise. How? By blessing a Jew? By the gospel. They hear the gospel. What is the gospel? Christ died for your sins. You mean us outside the covenant? Yes. You that are idol-worshipping Gentiles? Yes. You that eat pork? Yes, you. Christ died for you. And how do I get saved? By believing the gospel. What is the gospel? That He died for all of your sins. How many sins did He die for? All of them. It's wiped clean. Why? Because you repented? Because you walked the aisle for Jesus? Listen, do you realize what a defilement that is to the gospel of Christ and the finished work of Calvary? To tell a man that he could get up and walk the aisle and God would forgive him because of his walk? Or that because some man said a sinner's prayer that God would forgive him? God didn't forgive you for you. God forgave you for Christ's sake.
Amen.
People get all fouled up. Churches having people do things. You know what they're doing? They're making the cross of Christ of none effect. They're destroying the grace of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourself. It isn't about you walking. It isn't about you repenting. It isn't about you joining a church. About you trusting a Savior who has already made all the provisions for you, period, that could be made to get you into heaven. You know what? People walk around lost because they think they're some great religious person or they changed their life or they turned a new leaf. You know what? It isn't about your turning a new leaf or walking the aisle. About you believing something. You know what? This isn't being preached in the pulpits of America. You know, say, well, we're preaching the same thing as the Baptists. No, we're not. Are there Baptists that are saved? Sure are. Are there Methodists that are saved? Sure are. But they're not preaching this to anybody. I never heard any of this. I grew up in the church. 15 years I went time and time again, never heard it. Always heard God was going to put good on one side, bad on the other, make good decisions. Until Brother Moore told me that God didn't have any way to save me except the realms of grace. And so people wrote music. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Come on. Isn't that something? I was once lost. Were these people lost?
Yeah, no.
They had a hope. These people, did they have any hope?
No hope.
It wasn't until God opened the portal of grace that you could be saved. That's why this church is different. That's why it's different. Paul describes in Ephesians that this thing of ordinances was done away with. These people didn't know that. He's trying to write to both groups, to welcome them into the body of Christ and tell them that it's by grace that these people were saved and that God had a plan. And that's why he says in Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse 1, and we'll end here tonight. Got 2 minutes. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Which Gentiles? If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given me to you, word, when did he get it? I believe in 2 Corinthians 12, when he got up there into paradise and he heard those unspeakable words. And then when did Paul finally say, I'm going? Acts chapter 28, verse 28. And since then, I can tell you there's not been a sign or a miracle or a wonder in the church. Not one. There hasn't been anybody that spoke in tongue by the power of God since that time. Why? The Jews require a sign. And God, in a sense, is saving everybody just like those Gentiles that were outside the covenant, having no hope by the gospel. There's no need for signs and miracles and wonders. Just grab a hold of that. When I heard that, it was the most precious message I've ever heard in my life. Just grab hold of that. So what's different between this church and other churches? That message, that's the difference. You know those other churches are telling you? What'd they tell you? Patty, what did the church way before tell you? Did you have to repent?
You had to have good works.
That's right. Norm, what did they tell you?
Well, they must have told me I wasn't going to work out.
Amen. I understand that. How about it, Carlton? What did they tell you?
Yeah, same thing.
All the same stuff. People say, well, you don't preach a different message. I am too preaching a different message. Everything that is possible. Are you listening to me? Get in close home to me, Terry. You guys listen to me very carefully. There isn't anything you've got to do in order to be saved.
Amen.
Everything's already been done for you. You know what you have to do? Claim it. That's it. You have to believe it. Why? You get saved by the gospel. By what? By believing it. You're not any good. You've never been any good. You know what? You've been fooling people for years thinking, oh, look at him. He's really changed his life. He gave up drugs and alcohol. Well, I gave up drugs and alcohol and I was lost. Say, did you give up whoring around? Well, most of it. When I got saved, I was nothing more than a filthy, rotten person that needed a Savior. And nothing changed in my life. I'm still rotten. If you want to get saved, let me tell you what. Salvation, very, very clear. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Won't you receive His gift? Look in Romans chapter 5 and read it. Not you in here. You that are on that may be lost. 18 million people tuning in. We ought to have a few that might be lost. Amen? Receive the gift. And that's how we'll end tonight.